Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a CCO Sports Saturday, 82 degrees outside, a sun-drenched day in the Twin Cities. Wind out of the south at 9. It is 4:09. Eric Nelson with you going solo until 6:30. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe, is our studio coordinator. He is counting down the seconds until his Kansas City Chiefs start the NFL regular season. Emphasis on regular, not preseason, which is basically counterfeit football. I can't believe the NFL charges full freight for those games. In the newsroom, Mark Hayden Fry. Don't forget, we'll have first pitch coming your way at 6 as I get you ready for the Twins and Rangers tonight. Game 3 of the 4-game weekend series down in Arlington. Pre-game at 6:30, and then the ball game actually starts at 7:10. Corey and Chris with the Bird's Eye View from Globe Life Park. Speaking of Texas, we're going to go down there now. Dave Raymond joins us, Rangers television play-by-play broadcaster. And, Dave, thanks so much for your time. I know from the Rangers' perspective, things have been a little rough as of late, losing 8 of 10. What have been your impressions of the Minnesota Twins?
Well, first of all, Eric, I have to say that was the most obnoxious open to a segment. Did you say 72 degrees up there? Is that what you just said?
82.
A second ago? 82 degrees? Okay. Because my car said 102 driving in. The stadium scoreboard is reading 99 at the moment. So I see what you're doing. You get, you know, trying to rattle around in my dome a little bit before the game tonight. And that's just not cool. But my impression.
But, Dave, in January, you can return the favor.
Well, that is true. That is true. And we can handle it, man. It's just a little bit of heat. No big deal. Your Minnesota Twins are pretty good, right? I mean, they can hit. There are some issues. But, you know, right now, this is probably not the fairest of fights when these two teams are getting together. You know, the Rangers haven't been playing real well, as you pointed out. And we're at that point of the season and I think in our franchise's evolution, where we're doing some things differently. We're trying to look at some guys and, you know, looking a little further down the line than the Twins are right now. But what impresses me about the Twins, man, is up and down that lineup, you have guys having either career years or are just elite hitters, and they can do all kinds of damage. And really the way that they handled Mike Minor last night, I think, is best evidence of that. I think Minor had given up 4 home runs all year in this ballpark, but he gave up 2 last night. And 2, in this day and age, 2 home runs, maybe that's not that big a deal. You know, guys give up home runs all the time now, but that's pretty good. You just raised his season-long home run damage 50% last night. So I think that speaks a little bit to this team. But I do think that the Twins have some issues, and I think, you know, I would have some concerns. But they're in a good spot. They're in a favorable position right now with, you know, roughly 40 games left in the season.
Yeah, and good points on Mike Minor. I know he was in the All-Star game, Dave, and the runs he allowed last night were the first that he's given up in the month of August. So the Twins were roughing up a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, depending on where you look, if it's Fangraphs or Baseball Reference, I mean, his WAR, in as much as you want to put any stock into that stat, would have him among the top 5 pitchers in baseball. And I think it's the Fangraphs that has him like as the best. So no, he's legitimately good. And he has pitched the ball well in August, really bounced back nicely in August after a tough July. So there's no doubt. And it's not a surprise though to Twins fans, right? I don't think anybody saw last night's game or listened to last night's game and thought like, oh, well, maybe they are for real. They handled Mike Minor. It's a good team, man. And they've done a lot of damage to a lot of really good pitchers. So that's going to be the strategy, clearly. They're going to have to outscore everybody because I do have, you know, some misgivings about that bullpen. And the starting pitching isn't the deepest there is, but it's a nice team. I think it's a really nice ball club.
And there are some Texas fingerprints on the Minnesota ball club. As you know, Thad Levine once upon a time was the assistant GM down there in Texas, and you guys had a back-to-back World Series, couldn't close the deal, but had some great teams with Ron Washington and company. And then, of course, Nelson Cruz, and everybody loves Nelson. And Martin Perez, certainly a tremendous turnaround. He picked up that cutter in the offseason, and in a way, he's gone. So there are some guys with Ranger connections in that Twins clubhouse.
Yep, and Mike, you know, and it's a good point too, Eric, because with Martin, he was a guy that for years here, we just kind of kept waiting for that, you know, that light to go on or whatever the cliche would be. We just wanted that to snap into place because he knew he had the talent. He's got great stuff, and it seems as if they have figured some of that out with Martin, which is great. I mean, he's a good guy and obviously a very talented pitcher, and that part's been fine. And Thad's one of my favorites, man. Thad's such a good dude, and bumped into him last night after the ball game on my way out. And, you know, always a smile on the face, always upbeat, energetic, and having fun at the ballpark. And Thad's a total pro, obviously just such a bright guy. And I think back even to the moves last year where you guys were buyers, sellers, buyers, right around the trade deadline, and he's swapping dudes all over the place trafficking all kinds of ball players from one team to another, but he does a great job, man. He's obviously put some good pieces in place. The addition of Marwin Gonzalez, even though it's been a bit of a down year for Marwin, I think it was a really good one. Mitch Garber stepped up huge this year, and I don't know if Thad gets credit for that, but even just the stability of Miguel Sano. I mean, these are important, really important things that have happened with this ball club this year, and you know, Thad and whatever systems and processes he puts in place in these things, obviously go a long way toward those successes. And so he has to get credit for that. So yeah, great dude. And so happy to see the success he's having, and can't wait for him to take this team somewhere else after two more days here, because they pound lumps on us in this ballpark.
Yeah. Get out of town, Minnesota Twins. Dave Raymond, our guest here on a CCO Sports Saturday. He's the TV broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. Game three of the four-game weekend series tonight. You'll hear it on CCO 710. The start of the ball game, 6:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch, which I will host. Dave, as you mentioned early in this interview, it's baking hot as usual. I just checked the current temp in Arlington. Triple digits, 100 degrees. But this will be the final year of Globe Life Park. You will move across the parking lot to Globe Life Field, retractable roof venue. And I think the Rangers are hoping this is a game changer, that now you can control the weather to some degree.
Yeah, I think it will have a lot of positive long-term effects for this team. You know, a lot of people speculate, like, well, maybe they'll be able to attract, you know, a different level of free agent pitcher because it's a tough place to pitch. And hopefully that's true. I've never been certain that it's really that big an issue for guys, you know, that would force their decision one way or the other. But if it is, even if it's just a slight hesitation for some guys, if you can remove that from the equation, I think that's good. But it's going to be a neat ballpark above and beyond that. And it'll be so much better for the fans. I mean, we have done some things here where we've taken the temperature of the seat backs in the stadium, and they've registered 150 degrees during a day game. Like, that's a little warm for the average person just to sit down and put their creamy thighs up against. So, you know, I think it's not the most pleasant environment on a lot of days. So if we can make that better for the fans, which would generate more revenue, maybe allow you to go after different free agents a little more aggressively, and if they're more willing or interested to play here because it's comfortable, then bully on that. So I think it definitely has the potential to be a game changer for us. And, you know, even just visiting broadcast crews coming in, it's hard for me to see Chris Atterbury walking around in long pants when it's 100 degrees out here and he's uncomfortable. And I want my visitors, my friends to be comfortable when they come visit. So that'll go a long way toward accomplishing that goal as well.
Well, I'm sure we all love the Texas hospitality that you guys provide down there in Arlington. Yeah, it would seem like 100 degrees would warrant short pants, but, you know, Chris is a true pro.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're breaking up. I can't detect what you're saying. Yeah, true pro. No, he is, man. He's a great, great guy, and is really, like, average to above average broadcaster. I think it's why we've always discussed it. Now he's the best. And you might note that he's he just handed me a note. Oh yeah, no, he's an excellent broadcaster.
Is he hovering? Is he helicoptering you, Dave?
No, I can't get enough time with the guy. He's over in his booth over there grinding away right now on some witticisms and turns of phrase. So I'll just have to wait and listen back to the broadcast later. And that's the only way I really get to spend my quality time with Chris these days.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about Arlington. I've been down to the Metroplex a few times. You've got Dallas. You know, that's the kind of the city with all the glitter and the gloss. And Fort Worth is the Stockyards. And in between is Arlington. I think it's right off the Tom Landry Highway, I-30, if I remember, after I covered a Super Bowl down there. But Arlington's like the entertainment center now, isn't it? You've got the Dallas Palace, the Cowboys' home. The Rangers are there. You're going to have the new retractable. There's a Six Flags. Arlington has carved out its own niche, hasn't it?
It has. It's really kind of an interesting situation because I think when people think of the area, they think of Dallas. Even when fans in other towns are thinking, like, oh, they're going to play the Rangers, they must be going to Dallas. Well, kind of. I mean, you're going to Arlington, and in Arlington, I mean, you have the most incredible football stadium on the planet, in Jerry's World, right across the street from us. And now next to that will be this new, brand-new ballpark that we're building, which, like, I know when they started building it, it was estimated to cost $1.2 billion. They're not messing around. And then right between the two is this Texas Live district with a beautiful Lowe's Hotel and a ton of restaurants and bars and entertainment venues, concert venues built into it. It's unbelievable. And you mentioned Six Flags, which is just around the corner. So it's all here in Arlington. And it is sort of perfectly situated between Fort Worth and Dallas for fans to be able to take advantage from whatever side of the Metroplex, which is a continually growing and blossoming part of the country. I mean, it's an enormous city. It's sprawling, but people just keep coming, and we welcome them. You know, we hope that they all will join us. It's a fun place to live, and if you're a sports fan, Texas sports, they like a lot of things about Texas, right, being bigger. People dig it. They're into it. And so it's fun if you're a sports fan to have access to all these things right here in one spot and have so many people and, you know, like the tribalism of being a sports fan, man, you got a lot of folks that you can share the experience with. So it's a great, great place for baseball, for football, for all of it. And it's just, I just think it's curious. It's just interesting that it's all in Arlington, mm-hmm. which I think largely escapes people, right? Because you just want to think of Dallas or you want to think of Fort Worth.
Yeah, and Texas, of course, faith, family, and football, not necessarily in that order, as you know, Dave. The Cowboys are huge. America's team, all that stuff, the star. What's the challenge the Rangers face? Because a few years ago, you guys were in back-to-back World Series. How do you grab some of the headlines from the Dallas Cowboys who get that 24/7 coverage down there in the Metroplex?
Well, I think you win. You know, I mean, it's the simplest of formulas for any team. You just have to win. You have to be relevant and good. And they've been a lot better this year. But it's gonna take a little time. We've had a couple of tough seasons. We've changed managers. You know, there's some upheaval. And so for fans, you know, a lot of them tend to hang around on the periphery and look in and see, like, well, are they good yet? Is this really compelling yet? And then they jump in. And you have your hardcore base that sticks around and shows up, and they – it's one of the nice things about the fan base here is they're pretty good and it's pretty decent. They support this team. When it's winning time around here, it gets nuts. Everybody, you see it down in Houston too, is the Astros have been winning lately. That place is packed. It's energetic. The town is buzzing. And it's the same way up here. When things are going great, they jump on board and they could not be more supportive. So now in terms of trying to crowd out the Cowboys, that's hard to do. I mean, all the Cowboys need is, well, anything, right? They need a contract holdout. They need controversy for right tackle. It doesn't matter. It's going to be interesting and newsworthy. So you're never gonna knock them to the side, but you can at least share the spotlight with them anyway.
Dave, I know you used to broadcast the Houston Astros along with my good friend Brett Dolan down there a few years ago. The Astros went through tremendous growing pains. I believe it was three straight triple-digit loss seasons. Now they're on top of the world. Any comparisons between what the Twins are trying to do and what the Astros have done? Because certainly the Twins, they've been down a long time.
Yeah, but I don't think they went about it in quite the same way, right? Houston, really, they had an idea. You know, they thought they would kind of gamble on this concept, which was, I mean, to blow it up beyond the level anyone really had blown up a team. It's certainly since roughly 1900. And they try and rebuild it. Get, you know, draft well, make good moves, develop, and really embrace analytics. And they did. And it worked. Now they had to, you know, listen, you have to get a little lucky. As great as they have been, like a couple of years ago, prior to 2017, I think people thought, oh, they're ready to win a World Series. Last year, they're ready to win a World Series. Well, they didn't, right? It's not easy to do. So you do have to have some good fortune. But they, you know, they went all in on a strategy, and it worked out for them. I don't think the Twins went quite as far. You know, they didn't tear it all the way down to the studs in the same way. And for good reason. They had some young guys, guys like Sano and others who were already there in place. And so it's a lot. I think it's kind of harder to do what Minnesota's doing. We're trying to do the same thing here in Texas, which is, you know, build around what is, you know, roughly competitive baseball right now. But to go all in and really tank, get those draft picks, it's a little hard to embrace that. It's a little hard to ask a fan base to suffer through consecutive 100-loss seasons.
Yeah.
You can do it. But there's still no guarantee doing that. So there are other ways to do it. And I think the way the Twins have done it has been intelligent. And I'd like to think that the way the Rangers are going about it is intelligent. And then you just hope you get lucky.
All right, great stuff, Dave. Take care of Chris Atterbury. Keep him in line, please. And here's an update for you. 82 degrees in the Twin Cities and a breeze out of the south at 9.
All right. That ain't right. Hey, right, Eric. But I appreciate you having me on, man. I got to go find Atterbury and make sure he's okay. Go fan him off or something.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much, Dave Raymond, Texas Rangers television broadcaster from Arlington, from Globe Life Park, getting set to call the game tonight. And of course, right next to him is Chris Atterbury. You'll hear him later on CCO with Corey Provis as they prep for the radio broadcast. It's 4:26 on a CCO Sports Saturday. It's a CCO Sports Saturday. Wow, what a day. 83 degrees, wind out of the southeast at 10. Our good friends down in Texas have weather envy. We just had Dave Raymond on, television broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. When he heard the temp up here, boy, was he jealous. It's 100 in Arlington. That's where the Twins are. They'll try to make it three straight against the Rangers. And that ball game will start at 7:10, 6:30 pregame. First pitch, I'll host that at 6 o'clock. Of course, that's something we have added to the mix here at CCO, your flagship home for Twins baseball. Before every Twins game, with the exception of Sundays, we have first pitch. Henry does most of the shows. I do some. Stevie T will do some. But it's a half-hour buildup to the pregame. Now, tomorrow, Stevie T in earlier again for Denny. So I'll have Twins Week in Review at noon. And we'll have all sorts of stuff, Twins and Rangers. We'll have Minnesota Vikings pre-half and post. And we'll have all sorts of post-game sound from Seahawks Vikings at the Glass House U.S. Bank Stadium. Preseason game number 2 for both teams. The Minnesota Lynx played last night against the Washington Mystics. And they lost 86-79. Washington, a very good team. The Mystics now 19-7. They have clinched a playoff spot. They won their 5th straight game. As for the Lynx, certainly minus Maya Moore, minus Lindsey Whalen, some of their key people. It's been a difficult season. They're 13-13, and they're trying to get themselves in position to get into that postseason. But last night was a losing effort for the Minnesota Lynx. As far as Minnesota United is concerned, the Loons back on the pitch tonight at Allianz Field in St. Paul, the Midway, halfway between the downtowns off I-94 and the Green Line extension. Boy, this is going to be a perfect night to watch soccer at one of my favorite venues in the Twin Cities, Allianz Field. Should just be ideal conditions. So Minnesota United hosting Orlando City FC. Now, Minyu is currently in second place in the MLS West, trailing LAFC. So this right now, this is as good as it's ever been for Minnesota United at the MLS level as they try to make a push and get to the postseason for the first time in franchise history. Also, they're going to play for the U.S. Open Cup title, and that'll be in 10 days down in Atlanta against Atlanta United FC, a club that came into Major League Soccer like Minyu just a couple of years ago. So they're the exact same age, and Atlanta United's already won a cup, the MLS Cup last December, beating Portland. Now Atlanta United or Minnesota United will win the U.S. Open Cup, which, of course, is played during the season parallel to the MLS regular season. So good times right now for the Loons when they'll try to make it continue tonight against Orlando City FC. 33 points for Orlando, 41 for Minyu. It's 4:33 on a CCO Sports Saturday. It's a CCO Sports Saturday. We are getting our groove on. Wow, what a day. 83 degrees outside. Wind out of the southeast at 10. 4:38. Eric Nelson with you here until 6:30. It's the LP edition of a Sports Saturday. It all began at 2. Stevie T and I tagged it up for an hour. He left because he got in here this morning real early. Right around, I believe, 5 a.m. was his arrival time. And don't forget, first pitch at 6, pregame at 6:30, Twins and Rangers at 7:10 from Globe Life Park in Arlington, where the thermometer says 100 degrees. It may cool off a bit by the time they get to the nighttime part of the day. Of course, eventually you lose the sunlight. But that's why the Texas Rangers are leaving a venue that many people think is still a great place to play baseball, but they want to go into a retractable roof facility. So it's Globe Life Field will be their home beginning in 2020. I saw some photos of it today at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram website, and it looks like it's going to be pretty cool, although I'm still a big believer that once you add retractable to a baseball park, it takes away the charm and the coziness of it. But they want to be able to shut out some of that heat. Now, there is a debate, though, down there in the Metroplex of, you know, how often will the roof be shut? And the Rangers are trying to figure that out. And other cities have dealt with this. Houston, specifically, I think the Astros, and obviously Phoenix as well, I think the Astros, for some of their games, will shut the roof for a few innings, get the air conditioning cranked up, everybody nice and cool. Then in the final few innings, they'll open it up. So you can have a mix of indoor and outdoor baseball. I was in Phoenix a year ago, April. Saw two games at Chase Field in downtown Phoenix, San Diego and the D-backs. And the first night, temps were, you know, low 90s. It's April. It's still not the oven yet that they get in Arizona. Now you're talking 115 in the daytime. But it was warm, but the roof was open. I thought it was fine. The next night I go in there, And the temperature was a little bit hotter. They slammed that roof shut, and it was a much different experience. It was totally dome ball as opposed to feeling like you're outside. But in the fourth inning, they opened it back up, and I was excited about that. Dome ball just doesn't cut it for me. All right, the preseason, of course, continues in the National Football League. What should we do with the exhibition season? Because I think your hardcore fans, they are just counting down the minutes until this is over. It's counterfeit football. I mean, who can really take it seriously? And if you're a season ticket holder for any of the 32 NFL teams, you got to buy these two preseason games as part of the package. It's the NFL's way of sticking it to you. Because these games have absolutely zero meaning to the fans. I realize there are some players, these games are critical. You're trying to make a team. I understand that part of it. But from the curb appeal standpoint, this is tough stuff. It's hard to get worked up about it. Vikings and Seahawks will play tomorrow night here in downtown Minneapolis. And you'll see the starters for a bit. And then after that, who knows? Who knows? And who cares, really? What should we do? I'd like you to give me an answer. 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. To me, it's counterfeit football. I think it's simple. You got to slice the preseason in half. I could live with two games. Four games, too much. And in the case of the Denver Broncos and Atlanta Falcons, because they played the Hall of Fame game in Canton, five games. Let's get it down to two. And I don't care if the NFL loses money. The NFL is an ATM. They've got enough money. And here's the thing. Some of these games now most of them are played, you know, in NFL venues. But occasionally, the NFL will play elsewhere, like they're going to do on Thursday in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And they have a great venue up there. It's like a smaller version of CenturyLink Stadium, the one the Seahawks have. Outdoors, it's where the Winnipeg Blue Bombers play in the CFL. Oakland and Green Bay will play in Winnipeg on Thursday night. I checked Vivid Seats to see what the cheapest tickets are going for at this point in time. $61. Now, J-Lo, you're a huge sports fan. You love the NFL. I know you can't stand the Raiders. And the Packers knocked off your Chiefs in Super Bowl I many moons ago. But would you pay $61 to see the Raiders and Packers in a preseason game? That's the cheapest seat.
You asked me that like it was a serious question, like I would answer it with some sort of serious answer. Absolutely not. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The division rival and one. Now, it'd be great to see Aaron Rodgers play in person.
For what? That two series?
Yeah, you're right. And that's the other thing is it'd be great to see him play, but you're not going to see him really play a lot until the regular season. So regular season,
well, that's different.
You might get me to 8%. Yes, preseason, no. You can just leave those two teams on the side. We're good.
All right, let me
rephrase. If I don't
want
to watch the Chiefs play during the preseason, I know I don't want to watch the Raiders play during the preseason.
If it were the Chiefs and Packers playing in Winnipeg, would you pay $61 to watch that in the preseason?
I'm not going to Winnipeg for that. No.
You wouldn't pay that if they were at Arrowhead or coming here to Minneapolis.
I wouldn't pay that if they were playing over at Roseville High School.
There you go. And he's hardcore, folks. So the NFL has a preseason problem. They know it. We know it. It's the elephant in the room. What's going to happen, if anything? What do you think should happen? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. My solution is simple. Cut the thing in half. Go from four games to two. And figure out a way to recoup your revenue in other ways, other money-making streams. The NFL's good at that anyway. I just think preseason football in 2019, it's an outdated model. It used to work back in the day. There was a time when they played six preseason games. But now you've got OTAs. You've got mini camps. It's basically a year-round sport. I just think you should get rid of a couple of these games. By the way, I checked StubHub and Vivid on tomorrow night's Seattle-Minnesota game. Tickets for as low as $11. So on the flip side, here's the good news. Now, not in Winnipeg, where it's still gouging, but let's say you can't afford to watch the Vikings in the regular season. Too much money. Got to pony up too much cash. You want to take the kids out tomorrow night? You can get in for a cheap price. So that's the upside. A lot of these games, season ticket holders don't want to go. They don't care. They put the tickets on the secondary market, and they take whatever they can get in return. But I think the NFL needs to figure out this preseason problem here sooner rather than later. Don't forget Twins and Rangers. That'll be game three of the four-game weekend series. You'll hear it here on CCO. 6:30 the pregame, 7:10 the first pitch from Arlington. And we'll have first pitch at 6 o'clock. And you know, some of the fun of first pitch is we've got a trivia question in there. And if you can answer three questions correctly, you'll wind up with Valley Fair tickets. That's kind of cool, right? So You'll want to listen to First Pitch coming your way later in the day here on CCO. It's a CCO Sports Saturday. The thermometer says 82 degrees in the luxurious and spacious downtown studios. Marvelous day outside. Bit of a breeze out of the south at 9. 4:51, Eric, with you until 6:30. Sports Saturday runs until 6, and then First Pitch will set you up for Rangers-Twins, Game 3 of the weekend series down in Texas. And the Twins have already gotten a dose of good news. Final from earlier in the day at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, and the New York Yankees, 6 runs, 8 hits, no errors. Cleveland, 5-9-2. So the Yanks beat the Indians. The Yankees are now 83-42. By the way, 49-19 at home. Boy, you don't want to play the Yankees at the house that Derek Jeter built. They're almost unbeatable. Indians are 73-51, and they are now 2 games behind the Twins in the AL Central. So Minnesota, with Jose Berríos, the all-star, and staff ace on the bump tonight, the Twins will have a chance to go up by 2.5 games with a win over the Rangers. Texas will throw Ariel Jurado tonight in that game. Twins won on Thursday convincingly, and they won last night in a squeaker. And suddenly, a week that started off, it was a bleak beginning to the week. I mean, let's be blunt here. Indians on Sunday won again over the Twins, made it 3 out of 4. Then on Monday, the Twins were off. The Indians beat Boston. Suddenly, Minnesota was out of first place by a half game. Since then, though, the Twins have charged back. They split the series with the Brewers. They won the first two in Texas. And the Indians lost 2 out of 3 to Boston. They've now lost 2 out of 3 to the New York Yankees. That final on Thursday, by the way, 13-6. Twins had 3 more taters in that one. Michael Pineda getting the win for the Twins. And last night, they get the squeaker victory, 4-3, thanks to Jonathan Scope. Dramatic home run of Mike Minor, the all-star lefty for the Rangers in the 7th. Scope also with a glove gem in the field at second base on a ground ball in the mid-innings. So it's been a good week so far for the Twins, and they'll try to up that lead in the AL Central to 2.5 games over Cleveland if they can win tonight. Final game of the series will be on Sunday. You'll hear that one here on CCO. The 83 wins by the Yankees now gives them more wins than anybody in Major League Baseball. They have passed the LA Dodgers. The Yankees are 83-42. The Dodgers 82-42. Of course, the Dodgers will get their shot here to get to number 83. The Houston Astros are at 78 wins, 78-45. But those are your teams that, as far as wins go, are on top of the majors. But you got to give the Yankees credit. I know they are the Yankees, the evil empire and all that good stuff, but they battled through a lot of injuries, and they have been able to win in many different ways this year. The Dodgers are playing Atlanta tonight. That's a good matchup down at SunTrust Park in Georgia. So the Dodgers trying to get win number 83 against the Braves, and they'll have Ryu on the mound. He's 12-2, so what a season he's had for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Minnesota United will be on the pitch tonight, taking on Orlando City FC in MLS action. Should be another packed house at Allianz Field. They've been averaging just over 19K per match, and the fans have definitely showed up to see this team play in the honeymoon season of the new stadium, Allianz Field, which has just had some fantastic soccer and moments overall, and it's played to rave reviews. People locally and nationally are gushing about Allianz Field. And let's not forget, and this is going to be fun, and I'm going to try to get to this, that on September 3rd, the U.S. women's soccer team will play Portugal at Allianz Field, part of their victory tour. So Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, and company will be here in the Twin Cities. And I believe they're only doing, what, three stops, J-Lo? It's not a lot. So for St. Paul to be one of the stops, I think that speaks volumes to where soccer is now in Minnesota.
I think it's five, but let me
check on that. Okay, five. It's still not a lot.
No. I'm going to check on that real quick here.
Yeah, and there's been a CONCACAF Gold Cup matches at Allianz. Obviously, Minnesota United playing there during the regular season. We're going to have St. John, St. Thomas, MIAC football coming up at Allianz. You'll hear that game here on CCO. Hard to believe that Tommy football will be starting up soon. And we'll have those broadcasts, Dave Lee and myself. Always fun to be on the airwaves with Dave. It's certainly going to be an interesting year for the Tommies. There's no sense trying to dance around it. they're being kicked out of the MIAC for being too good. That's what's happened here. The other schools got tired of being banged on like a pinata, so they said, you know what, enough's enough. You guys win too much for us. If you can't beat them, kick them out. And so I think the Tommies will be playing with a boulder on their shoulder this season.
By the way, I did check this real quick. This is a five-date tour for the U.S. Women's National Team. They already played the Republic of Ireland at the Rose Bowl. They will play Portugal twice. The first time will be at Lincoln Financial Field on the 29th, and then they'll play them again at Allianz Field here on the 3rd, and then they'll play two games against the Korea Republic, one on October 3rd at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, the other at Soldier Field in Chicago on October 6th.
So the interesting thing there is, of the five stops, four of those five venues have football-sized capacities. Allianz, the only soccer-specific one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.